Rebecca felt led to go to a Spanish-speaking country and teach music of all things. And lo and behold, they found out rather quickly that down in the Dominican, the government had just issued a regulation that all Dominican children had to study music. And there were no qualified teachers much down there. I mean, the ones that they had, I guess, maybe knew reggae, but that's about all they knew. And so just a real push, and all these Dominican parents were just kind of struggling to get their kids where they were would be able to learn music. Well, it soon became obvious that it was kind of a marriage made in heaven, that God had designed for Rebecca to go down there and teach music in that school. She had a degree in music, was sitting there ready, was already fluent or almost fluent in Spanish. And everything was just in place. And then she came in and dropped the bomb on her preacher. She said, "Preacher, I've got to be there on July the 23rd. And that wouldn't have been so bad, but this was like a month before July the 23rd, or 5 weeks or so. And I began to break the news to her. I said, "Rebecca, that's not possible." And in essence, she said, "But preacher, doesn't the Bible say that nothing's impossible with God?" I said, "Well, yeah, it says that, but I mean..." that's not what it means. It just means, but anyway, you know the rest of the story. I reluctantly gave her a list of all the preachers that I knew, all two of them, and that I had influence with. And she began to call preachers. Actually, there were about 30 of them. And remarkably, she had to raise, I think it was like $1,600 in 1 month, and her plane left on the 23rd of July, of August, and had to raise that money, and God raised it. I mean, that's all I can say. God raised it. You have to know independent Baptist churches. We don't move that fast. I mean, God had to move all those churches and preachers, get them to do that. And so anyway, God raised the money, and she has been down there now since August the 23rd and comes back to share what the Lord has done. So, Rebecca, with that rather dubious introduction, why don't you just kind of come and tell us what the Lord's doing there in the Dominican? I see He has your microphone right over there. All right?
First, I wanted to say thank you to the church for your generous gifts that you just gave. I can already tell you it's going to be a blessing. I was just making up a long list of supplies that I could use in the next for the church and the school in the next semester, and just wondering because we really never know how support is going to be from 1 month to the next. Depends on a lot of things, and so to have gifts like this really makes a difference, because it was just an assurance that I will be able to have what I need for these kids and for the church, to help them in what I'm doing down there is I'm giving music and actually art classes, and beginning a little bit of drama of all things this semester with the kids in the school. But this is from a biblical perspective, with the goal of reaching them for Christ, or for those that are already saved, strengthening their walk with the Lord and encouraging them in their home communities. But I wanted to say thank you to the church for your gifts, for your support, for your prayers. The mail system down there is somewhat slow. Usually the mail arrives 2 to 4 weeks after it's sent from here to the post office. Then it's another couple of weeks before we're able to make it to the city, to that part of the city, to pick up the mail. But every time, no matter when you sent it from here, it arrived at just the moment that I needed that encouragement, especially with the cards and letters that I've gotten. Thank you so much. And all I can say is God is in control of the mail system as well. I'm serving in Juan Tomas in the Dominican Republic. It's located somewhere underneath the Yellow Star, and it's about 12 miles north of the capital city of Santo Domingo, and it takes about an hour to drive to the capital, those 12 miles. Located on the same island as Haiti, and of course they are a Spanish-speaking country. This is a part of the landscape they have a lot of flat land. They also have mountains, or at least we call them mountains because we live in Georgia and have the Smokies. The missionaries I'm living with tell me that they call them mountains for my benefit because the missionary wife, Mrs. McMillan, was raised over in the West where they have the Rockies. But they do have mountainous country. They have plains. They've got beach. They really have a lot there. This is, on the left is a picture of my apartment, which is connected to the missionary's house. And they told me, just so you know, Dominicans don't work fast either. Independent Baptists don't, but neither do Dominicans. They told me when before I came that 2 weeks after I got there, I would be moved in. This picture was taken about 2 weeks after I got there. And they are just now actually finishing up the apartment so I can be there when I get back to make a little bit more room for when people come to visit or the missionary's daughter and her family while they're there, just to make a little bit more room in the house. But it is attached to the missionary's house just off the side of it. But they have lots of coconuts. We have coconuts year-round. This food that's pictured in the middle is something quite common that you'll see that the kids will bring to school. It's a kind of like a fried pastry stuffed with meat and cheese and things like that. Lizards are everywhere, inside, outside, wherever they want to be. And we have screens on the windows that keep out the mosquitoes, but they don't keep out the lizards and frogs. This is our main road down to Juan Tomas. We call it the Juan Tomas River. They have, at the beginning of the semester, the parents all signed a petition to the government to fix this road, por favor, because the buses were not and the cars were not hardly able to get down to the school, and the kids were having to walk in through this. So finally, during the last week of finals, they started fixing the road. And when I left, they had scraped the road and put down a layer of something called caliche, which is a mixture of clay and some other things that that is, it's the next to last layer. They're supposed to put one more layer on top of the road. The Dominicans told me we'll see if it gets done. But caliche basically fills in the holes, and it's great when it's dry, but this is a rainy country, and it turns into a yellow sticky clay that sticks more to your feet than to the road. So it was a blessing. The very last Sunday I was there, we had to walk into the village through this caliche, which was wet, sticky, muddy, to invite people to a special service, a special evangelistic Christmas service that we were having at the church that evening. And it was looking very bad because we thought nobody will come through this mud. But thankfully, it's also warm there, and it dries out very quickly. So it did not rain the rest of the day, and we actually had a good-sized crowd for that service, and that was a blessing. I wanted to show this picture. It's a part of Santo Domingo that's built up for tourists, and it looks very nice. About one block away, you start to get into some very poor sections. They have this section for tourists, but what the tourists can't see is just one block away, people are living in horrible conditions. And I just don't see how they can survive, honestly, because a lot of the people make their living selling things on the streets. If they're in a job, they might be getting, the average pay would be about $300 a month, which is not enough to support a family. Food costs about the same as it does here. There are certain types that are cheaper, some that are, but if they're buying cheaper food, they're also malnourished. So we get a lot of kids in the school that are just very small for their age. These are some pictures from the school. And I'm actually up there teaching. I keep forgetting what color I am until I see the pictures. Because they tell me I'm Dominican. The kids are telling me that I'm Dominicanizing. On the on the left side, this is a part of the advanced English class and their teacher, the young lady that's not in uniform, and she's also a very important part of our church. Her name is Ingrid, and she's been a very good friend to me down there, prayed for me faithfully, and is praying for the church and school as well, and has a tremendous burden for the community. And as I go through the slides, I'm going to mention a few names, and especially if you're in that age group, she is 25, almost 26, I would just like for people to maybe pick out some of these to pray for. On the left is my 12th grade class learning about musical instruments, and they had the assignment to make their own musical instruments, but they're also learning about music philosophy and the reasoning behind Christian music. And we did a brief exploration of music throughout the world, and they started to identify which music is spiritual and focuses on the spirit, on the mind, which music focuses on the emotions, which types of music focus on the body. And I didn't have to play any of that. They just had to point out the window and say, reggaeton, reggae. Then the other picture is a picture at the preschool and first grade. Incredibly sweet kids. They had their second graduation this year, but this class was boasting to be the first real graduating class because they're the first ones that actually started in preschool and went all the way through and graduated. Many of them were saved during their years here. Some of them still not saved, and we're just praying for that they will continue to be exposed to the gospel. And the young man with the medal is another church member. His name is Ezekiel, and he is actually going into culinary arts and could have a tremendous impact, really, because for the people there to learn how to cook properly would be a blessing. Plus, he's a Christian and enthusiastic. You might have heard of Las Fuertes, the strong, that I've emailed about. These are the three girls pictured here are three of the four. They're very happy and very independent and very much do not realize the gravity of the situation that they're in being lost. And quickly left to right, their names are Christina, Santa, and Andrea. They are in 10th grade, so about 15 or 16. In contrast, the girl on the right, her Dominican name is Unity. She goes by Diana to American visitors, is a 12th grader who she is a Christian, growing in the Lord. She's working in evangelism out in other areas and really has a hard home situation. So if anybody feels led to pray for her, just for the salvation of her family and for her Christian testimony. These are pictures from our Christmas program. We have a group in the church that actually, I'll talk about another church that is involved some with our church and school, but we have someone that comes out once a week to work with this group of teens and young adults in music, and I'm in there just because I'm there. But they had already started for setting it up, for cleaning it, just for so much in the church, and they have a big responsibility, really, to be lights in the community because the people out there know them. The two guys that I'm standing there with are two of my 12th grade students. On the left is Ariel, who plays guitar and is learning piano, or is learning guitar and piano. And on the right, Hansel. And they are my self-appointed bodyguards. They They made me get a key for my small office to lock things up because students were borrowing my things behind my back. They just warned me about things before things are going to happen, or if they see something happening. They want to protect me from the students, from the bad things, bad influences in the community, while trying to teach me slang. But at the same time, they have been very good to have around and trustworthy. And also, the Dominican society is very touchy-feely. You'll notice in this picture they're not touching me. They show me respect, and I'm grateful for that. But they are in the 12th grade and have a lot of responsibilities already in the church, to lead the church. Before I go on, I realized that one day I was sitting in my little tiny office, which is actually, well, it's been used for a church closet, but it was originally made to be an office of some sort. So I was in there, and a couple of the other teachers were out in the other part working on grade books and things like that. And all of a sudden, I heard the song "Rejoice in the Lord," instrumental. And I'm thinking, I've never heard that here before, because they carry radios around with them, and they'll turn on a Christian station, which is, it depends on the particular time, whether it's got good music or not, and whether we have to chase the music out. But the teachers usually will have good music, or it was just, I didn't expect to hear it. I hadn't heard it in 5 months, this particular song. And I went out there and was just listening to it. And then it went on to another song, which was very obviously Majesty music sung in Spanish. And what come to find out, they have a radio station down there that plays that music, which I didn't know until just a few weeks ago. I asked this other teacher about it, and he was telling me, yes, most Dominicans don't like this. He said, but I love this music. And it just so happens that he's in charge of the special music and the music that, just any music that's going to be sung at their weekly chapel in high school. So I'm just seeing God opening up doors for changing their ideas about music, because they accept anything down there that comes with the name of Christian, almost. The students will. So anything from the U.S. that says Christian, they're going to assume it's Christian. And that's one thing that we're trying to direct them into, seeing what's going to honor God. When they're saved and growing, they need music that's going to honor God and help them to grow spiritually. And all of a sudden, this resource is open. I've also found a resource online where I can actually get this music in Spanish in choral form. So I'm really excited about what's coming up next semester. But along the same lines, there's a church in a nearby town. Well, it's actually a suburb of the city, of Villa Maya, called Iglesia Bautista Quisqueyana, the Quisqueyana Baptist Church. And it's got about 500 members, is growing, and they're building, planning to start a new building soon. But a lot of our teachers come from this church. So my mission board director encouraged me that if they asked me to play one Sunday, if it wasn't going to interfere with my work, to go and play for the church. So I went up there one Sunday morning when I wasn't, when I didn't actually have something else that I had to do, just to share the music with them. And again, on the Saturday before I came home at their Christmas program. But this particular church is very influential because they have a composer who shares his music with several other churches. And before I left, I came across The Battle for Christian Music in Spanish. And so I shared the book with him. He's sharing it with his brother, who is the pastor of the church. And they've started to change their music philosophy some. And we've had some good discussions about it. And it's opening up a door for really being able to teach what is Christ-honoring music to the musicians in the church, which the same person is training musicians in this church, and he's in charge of the group and in the Bible Church of Juan Tomas, where I'm at. So it's just really an incredible opportunity opening up for a Dominican to teach Dominicans about godly music, a Dominican that understands their culture and understands where they're coming from. So I'm just really excited about all these opportunities coming up with this. There's been opportunities in the classroom to present the gospel. Where was I going? Okay, I'm not sure now. But the teaching staff from this church, from other churches, and from my church, we make up a team that the goal is evangelism. As a team, every one of them there are missionaries to the village of Juan Tomas, which is really a subculture in itself for the Dominican Republic. So I just ask that you would lift up these teachers in prayer, especially the leaders of the school. Ingrid is one of them. The teacher who is in charge of the music in the chapel, his name is Roberto. And the school administrator, Richard, and the high school principal, Arjanis, if you can pronounce the name. But these people in particular need prayer because they're leading the entire staff there under the direction and supervision of the missionaries. But there are more ministries in the area than just the school that the missionaries are in charge of. So I just ask you to continue to be in prayer for us as a team as we work in this area, in this particular village, and then also for the students as they go home to their communities. Some of them live in Juan Tomas, others in surrounding communities, about, I think now, 380 students in this school that are hearing the gospel, hearing Bible teaching. So that's it. Any questions? No questions? My cello is there. I was playing. Is that an answer?
Is your sport coming on okay?
I think so. I think so. I haven't starved yet.
All right. Any other questions before we let Rebecca go here? Yes, sir, Brother Will.
Do you need guitars? I know you.
If there are guitars available, yes. And somebody told me that there was actually in this other church there's a need for a bass guitar, a four-string guitar, because they're actually starting up an orchestra there, minus me, because I'm not part of that church. But they're hoping to send some people out there to learn, out to me to learn how to play string instruments and come back to that church and play. But yes, guitars, just about any type of instrument we could use. No drums.
The drums are right there.
I never thought of goats, really. Would you respond to that?
I agree. We can get FedEx. It costs more, I think. And I don't know if we can, it would cost a lot for us to get anything delivered out to us where we're at. Because it's held until we come pick it up. Yes, we have to pay extra beyond the shipping. Which another thing is, thank you for giving to cover that as well, and sticking those dollars in the envelopes.
Any other questions? Okay, Rebecca, thank you very much. You know, I think one of the things that's very obvious when you listen to Rebecca there is that she is not a naturally outgoing person. And, you know, we think about sometimes, I think we've think falsely that a person has to be this dynamic, vibrant personality to be used by God. But it's a false idea. God is able to not only speak in a still, small voice, but He's able to make people listen to a still, small voice as well. And it's just fascinating to me. Here comes, and I can't resist calling her Little Rebecca. I mean, to me, she's Little Rebecca. She puttered around this church for all those years, and God sends her down there, and here are these, a big, tough Dominican men, and she's non-threatening, and yet she has truth. I mean, it's just a brilliant maneuver on God's part, isn't it? Isn't that funny? God is really smart. Have y'all noticed that? He's just so wise in what He does, and you see it in this whole story right here. And also, those who are here tonight, I don't have to explain to you what a tool music is in Satan's hands, do I? It is such a tool in his hands. He has gripped now two or three generations with wrong music and taught them his philosophies and driven it through the beat of that music, driven it into their minds, into their hearts. And I can say honestly, I was a child of early rock music, and Satan almost used rock music to ruin my life. He really did. And I can point back to the exact songs, the exact musicians that were there, and that I swallowed the philosophy. I really believed it. And God had to really rattle me, and I think almost kill me, to make me understand that those philosophies were wrong. Well, it's bad enough here. Can you imagine down in these Caribbean countries, in the Dominican and all, where there is not only the bad music, but there's also the influence of that can be traced directly back to voodoo and all those things, the voodoo of West Africa, and it comes over and it's intertwined in that music, and where the voodoo is still being practiced. Can you imagine the power of the music? And it is no wonder that God sends a missionary down there whose specialty really is music to begin to make inroads against that. How wise is God to do that? Now, did I see that? No, I didn't see that when this first started coming. But God is always ahead of us. And if we could ever just get on His wavelength and, you know, understand what He's doing, how much better off we would be just to follow His leadership. And I'm just so thankful for what God's done in that.